Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a question I think many of us have probably wondered about: those patient education videos, the ones about medications. Do they actually, make a difference in how well we manage our health?
It's a great question. It really is. And for you listening, this isn't just an academic thing. The World Health Organization, they've highlighted this when people don't take their meds correctly, what we call non-adherence. Well, the consequences can be pretty serious.
Yeah, serious, like treatments just not working properly.
Exactly. Or your condition getting worse, maybe more doctor visits, higher chances of side effects. And it definitely adds up in terms of healthcare costs for everyone. It's a big problem.
Right. So to really get to the bottom of whether these videos are like helpful, we dug into some solid research, a systematic review. It was published in Patient Education and Counseling back in 2023.
Mm-hmm. And the systematic review, just so everyone's clear, is basically where researchers gather up tons of studies on one topic to give us the big picture, the clearest view they can get from all the available evidence.
So our mission today, pretty straightforward. Do these patient education videos actually change how people take their medications? For real.
And if they do, what is it about them that works? What makes one video maybe more effective than another? That's what we want to unpack based on what this big review found.
Okay, so let's start with the scale of the problem. Medication non-adherence. The review really stresses it's not a minor hiccup. It can directly mean treatment failure.
Yeah, the medication just doesn't do its job. And unfortunately, that can just kind of set off a chain reaction.
How so?
Well, if the meds aren't taken right, the condition they're supposed to manage might progress. That could lead to, more sickness, worse outcomes, even, sadly, a higher risk of mortality in some cases.
Wow. And it doesn't stop there either, does it? The review mentions things like increased risk of adverse drug reactions.
Right. Or medication errors, even harmful interactions if you're taking multiple drugs. It's like a cascade of potential negative stuff.
Precisely. And then there's the cost, the bigger picture cost.
Oh, absolutely. Non-adherence means more hospital stays, more ER visits, extra tests. It all drives up healthcare spending significantly. It's such a known issue that the WHO actually made reducing medication-related harm a key goal in their global patient safety plan.
Okay, so we know the usual approach is, doctors, nurses, pharmacists talking to patients. Counseling. And that's valuable, no doubt.
For sure. But as the review points out, it takes time. A lot of time. And our healthcare systems, they're often really stretched thin already.
So there's a definite need, it sounds like, for other solutions, things that are maybe more efficient or can reach more people.
And that's exactly where these patient education videos sort of come into play. The thinking is, well, videos could be a really powerful tool.
How so? What's the advantage?
They use visuals and sound, right? So that can appeal to different learning styles. Plus, they can really explain why sticking to the medication plan is so important, maybe reinforce that message.
Okay, that makes sense. And I guess they can also tackle common worries or questions people might have.
Mm-hmm. Address concerns. And really importantly, they have this potential to be tailored. Think about different languages or making sure the information works for people with different reading levels. That kind of personalization could be huge.
Yeah, like a video in your own language showing exactly how to use your specific inhaler or something. That seems super helpful.
Right. And it ties into this broader trend, doesn't it? Using technology more in health education. There's kind of an expectation now that tech can help us learn better and improve health outcomes.
So the core question this review is wrestling with is, are these videos actually delivering on that promise, specifically for helping people take their meds correctly?
Exactly. Are they living up to the potential?
All right. Let's dive into the findings then. What did this systematic review actually uncover? They started with a huge pool of studies, you said.
Yeah, massive. Over 580 initially, but then they applied their specific criteria, who was studied, what the video was about, how they measured things, and they narrowed it down to just 12 studies.
Only 12? That seems like a big drop.
It is. And these 12 came from just four countries, mostly the U.S. and Canada, a couple from Australia, one from the Netherlands. And they were published between 2007 and 2020.
Okay. And what was the main goal of the videos in those studies?
Well, a key finding right off the bat was that the interventions, the videos themselves, were primarily focused on boosting patient knowledge, understanding their medications better.
Which seems logical, right? If you know more, maybe you'll do better.
That's the assumption, yeah. The review also looked at how the videos tried to influence behavior, what strategies they use.
Like what kind of strategies?
They identified a few main ones using a standard framework, things like modeling, showing someone doing the behavior correctly, enablement, maybe giving tools or support, persuasion, trying to convince people, and training showing specific steps or skills.
Okay. And how did that translate into the actual videos people watched?
Often it resulted in videos that were either like narratives using actors in real life scenarios or more like practice demonstrations, actually showing how to do something, like using an injection pen.
Got it. Now, what about the quality of these 12 studies? Did the review look at that?
They did.
Hmm.
They assessed the quality, and the overall picture was, well, a bit mixed, frankly. Most were rated as moderate quality.
Moderate, meaning?
Meaning there were some potential issues, or maybe they didn't report enough detail for the reviewers to be totally confident in the findings. Lack of detail on validity, reliability, that sort of thing.
Hmm. But they included them anyway.
Yes, and this was a conscious choice. They decided not to exclude any based on quality because they wanted to capture the full range of how videos were being used, even if the studies weren't perfect.
Mm.
It kind of highlights that this specific research area is still developing, maybe.
Okay. So they look at the study quality. How else did they analyze the videos?
They did something interesting. They mapped the video designs onto something called the behavior change wheel. It's a framework that helps understand what influences behavior.
Behavior change wheel. Tell me more.
It looks at things like our capability. Do we have the skills and knowledge? Opportunity. Does our environment support the behavior? And motivation. Do we want to do it? And then it links these to different intervention types.
And what did they find when they mapped the videos to this wheel?
Well, maybe unsurprisingly, the most common intervention function used in the videos was education. Just providing information.
Okay, makes sense. So we've got the background. 12 studies, mostly focused on knowledge using different video styles, variable quality. The big question, did the review find that these videos actually changed medication-taking behavior?
And this is the crucial point. Unfortunately, the review's main conclusion was that they could not report a reliable or sustained effect of these videos in modifying medication-related health behaviors.
Yeah. So they couldn't say for sure that they worked for changing behavior. Why not?
It largely came down to the design of the studies themselves. They often weren't robust enough, weren't designed in a way that could really measure behavior change accurately or isolate the effect of the video itself over the long term.
Okay, so it's not necessarily that videos don't work, but that the studies couldn't prove it properly.
That seems to be the main issue here, yes. Now, they did find that knowledge often increased in the short term. Some studies showed better understanding for, say, up to 60 days after watching a video.
60 days, okay. But did that increased knowledge stick around, and did it translate into people actually taking their meds better?
That's the gap. There wasn't consistent evidence that the knowledge was retained beyond that short period, or, more importantly, that it reliably led to sustained changes in adherence behavior. It really highlights that just knowing something isn't always enough, right?
Yeah, there's knowing and then there's doing. Two different things.
Exactly. Motivation, habits, practical barriers. Lots of other factors come into play.
Did the review find any positive effects at all, though?
It did mention some studies reported improvements in what they called surrogate markers.
Surrogate markers? Like what?
Things like fewer phone calls to the clinic, maybe less need for extra medication doses, patients reporting fewer symptoms, or even demonstrating better technique with devices like inhalers after watching a video.
Okay, so some potentially positive signs, but maybe not direct proof of taking pills correctly every day.
Precisely. They're related, potentially downstream effects, but not quite the direct measure of adherence behavior itself. And it wasn't consistent. Not all studies even showed these benefits.
It sounds complex. The review also mentioned something about how the information was presented.
Yeah, they pointed to an older review from 2014 by Abed and colleagues. That review suggested the format might matter. You know, whether it's just talking heads, lecturing, didactic, or showing a practice demonstration, or telling a story, narrative.
Did they find one format was better?
That earlier review suggested format, along with how complex the behavior itself is, could be really crucial factors in whether the video is effective or not. It hints that maybe how you present the information is just as important as the information itself.
Which leads us, I guess, to a pretty critical point the review makes. The lack of strong evidence and theoretical grounding.
Yes, exactly. A major takeaway was the need for much better designed studies in the future. Studies that are explicitly based on established theories of behavior change.
It sounds like most of the studies they reviewed didn't really do that. They just made a video and tested it without thinking about why it might work from a theoretical perspective.
Largely, yes. Most didn't seem to use established behavior change theories in designing the video or analyzing the results. The review did highlight one exception, though.
Oh, yeah. Which one?
A 2019 study by Davies and colleagues. They specifically used Bandura's social cognitive theory.
Social cognitive theory, remind me.
That's the idea that we learn partly by watching others modeling and through our own experiences, our confidence in our ability to do something. And that study, using that theory, did show improved technique for using eye drops.
Interesting. So maybe using theory helps.
It certainly suggests it might. The reviewers also used something called the PASS criteria to look at the study methods.
PASS criteria.
Practicability, applicability, sensitivity, specificity. Basically, a way to judge how good the methods were for actually detecting behavior change reliably.
And what did that analysis show?
It showed that very few of these 12 studies were actually designed well enough to let us confidently say whether behavior change truly happened because of the video.
So the measurement itself is a challenge.
A big one. It echoes a point made by Professor Susan Michie and others back in 2018 that we urgently need better, more formal methods to accurately assess behavior change in these kinds of interventions. It's tough to know if you're succeeding if you can't measure success well.
So despite videos seeming like such a promising idea, the hard evidence for long-term behavior change, it just isn't quite there in the research yet.
That's the sobering conclusion from this review, yes.
Okay, so what are the implications then? Where does this leave us?
Well, the first big implication is reinforcing that point.
Yeah.
Improving knowledge doesn't automatically equal changing behavior long term. There's often a gap.
The knowing-doing gap.
Exactly. The review does suggest that modeling showing the desired behavior, like in the Davies study, might hold potential, which aligns with that social cognitive theory. Seeing someone do it right might be powerful.
And what about the format? Didactic versus narrative or practice?
The review also leans towards the idea that narrative or practice style videos might be better for knowledge retention, maybe even engagement, compared to just straightforward lecture style videos. Makes sense intuitively, right? Stories stick with us.
Yeah, definitely. So maybe the type of video matters a lot.
It seems likely. But perhaps one of the most crucial takeaways, and something clinicians often feel, is that video education is probably best viewed as an adjunct, something to use alongside healthcare professionals, not instead of them.
Why not as a replacement?
Because that human interaction, that conversation with a doctor, nurse, or pharmacist, it allows for real personalization, addressing specific fears, checking understanding, tailoring advice in a way a pre-recorded video just can't.
Right. The video can provide baseline info, maybe reinforcement, but the human touch is still key for the nuances.
Precisely. So the review concludes by really emphasizing this urgent need for future research. We need studies with robust designs grounded in behavior change theory to truly figure out how and when video education can be used most effectively to modify medication behaviors and improve patient safety.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. The key takeaway seems to be patient education videos. Lots of potential, good for boosting knowledge, at least short term.
Mm-hmm. But the current scientific evidence, it's just not strong enough yet to confidently say they lead to sustained changes in medication taking behavior. And a big reason for that is the limitations in how the research itself has been designed and whether it's used solid theoretical foundations.
It's not saying videos are useless, but more that we haven't proven their long-term behavioral impact well enough yet.
Exactly. Which leaves us, and you listening, with a really interesting thought to mull over, doesn't it?
Duh.
Given that we're all using more and more digital health information, videos included, what are the really critical elements we need to build into these videos and into how we evaluate them to make sure they actually drive positive, lasting changes in health behavior?
Yeah, what's the secret sauce? Is it the format? The theory behind it? The way it's integrated with care?
And maybe, what role can those established theories of behavior change play in making these tools much more effective than they currently seem to be, based on this evidence?
It's definitely something to think about next time you watch a health video, or even just get health advice online. What makes it stick? What actually makes you do something differently?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for taking this deep dive with us today. We hope this look at the science behind patient education videos and medication adherence has been enlightening.
Thanks for listening.